Amen. Great chapter of the Bible, that, isn't it? Isaiah 40, some great verses in there. Right, Isaiah 40, I want to look at verses 10 and 11 here. Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 10 and 11, which read, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." And the title of my sermon today is Recognizing the Value of a Mother. Recognizing the Value of a Mother. Let's go to the Lord in a quick word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this great chapter. Thank you for these great verses. Please just help me to just preach clearly now, boldly, to preach with your spirit guiding me, and help everyone here to hear what message that you've put on my heart to preach today, and just help those everyone here to apply it to their lives, and just for all these things to be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we live in a society where being a mother seems to have lost its importance, hasn't it? Definitely has been downgraded. I was looking at just a few stats for this. In 2019, the rate of births in the United Kingdom fell to its lowest figure in the last 20 years, at 10.7 live births per 1,000 population. Now, obviously, you hear these ridiculous claims of overpopulation. Anyone? I think most people will have heard that sort of stuff, even though you could have the whole world's population with about 10 square metres to themselves each in our little nation here, in our little island here. It is ridiculous, isn't it? But there's that stuff. But let's be honest, I don't think anyone really who's not having children, or purposely not having children, is doing it to save the planet. They might claim that. There are various reasons, various ways that people try and avoid being mums in life. There's the birth control, isn't there? And how much is that used now? And again, I was looking at some stats on that. Across the whole United Kingdom, 2018, the birth control pill was the most common method of contraception for women aged between 15 and 49 years, with 28% using it as their main method. 28% of women between 15 and 49 using birth control pills. Anyone really know what that pill is doing to them? Do they? And look, I know there'll be people here that have, and sadly, hopefully not, that still use stuff like this, but it's wicked, okay? Yeah. It's wicked, and you're messing with your body clock, and people use that stuff and then wonder why then, when they decide to stop using it, they can't get pregnant. But look, we see the birth control pill, that's wicked, but there's something more wicked than that, isn't there, that is absolutely huge in this nation, across the world, and that's abortion. Abortion sounds a little bit more medical than what it really is, which is murder. Murder. And we have baby murder going on, again, across this nation, across the world, purposeful murdering of their children. In 2019, it's reported that 209,519 baby murders took place in England and Wales, which is up from 205,295 in 2018, 197,533 in 2017, etc. So it's getting higher and higher, 209,000 in 1 year. I mean, that's a Holocaust, isn't it? As a Holocaust, that is absolutely wicked as hell. Yeah, how evil is that? And that's the nation we live in. That's the nation we live in. And why is that? Because it seems that being a mother isn't important anymore. It seems a life isn't important anymore, is it? And I saw a stat that approximately, apparently 25% of all pregnancies, and this is excluding spontaneous miscarriages, currently end in abortion. 25%, a quarter of all in this nation. How bad is that? Okay, and that's where we've got to. That's where this nation is. And is it any wonder then that at the same time, being a mum is just so downgraded? It's not got any respect almost anymore, has it? Because it used to, didn't it? Because even when you get beyond the desperate attempts to not be a mother, which seems to go on throughout this nation by the stats I've just given you, the family and friends suggesting murder when you're pregnant, okay? And they'll do that to people who are married with, and look, there's no excuse for it anyway, but married, settled, what are you going to do? Are you going to have the baby? This sort of attitude, I've seen this, I've experienced this. It's wicked.
Yeah.
When you get past the men refusing to settle down in the first place, because that's going to take out from the pub time, that's going to take out from the hobby time and everything else. When you get past all of that, you then have many mums that do go through the 9 months of pregnancy to then basically give the child to the government to raise.
Mm.
Yeah? They're still not going to be a mum. So they might have the baby, and then they're still not a mum at the end of it. So once you get through all of those other things, you get to the point where then, what, you've got what, the, whether it's the school system, the preschool, look, they're giving you free childcare hours here. How many is it now do they offer to a mum of nursery? Is it 30, maybe 15 hours? Free. Free 15 hours. I mean, how enticing is that? 15 hours to just park your kids off and be me. You know, that old stuff. Be yourself, you know, just, you know, get up, you know, you deserve that. You should have time for yourselves and everything else. But what's that? That's 15 hours with your child being raised by not just people that you don't know, but it's people that you don't know that have to raise them in a certain way that our all-wise government has told them to raise them. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but every single registered childcare in this nation has to adhere to certain things, like they have to be Ofsted regulated, which basically means that they're government regulated, which means basically, in essence, it's a branch of the government raising your children from young, from baby.
Yeah.
And look, when I say Ofsted regulated, they have things like British values, because it sounds so good, doesn't it? We, you know, you must adhere to British values in your childcare institution. But what are British values? Because what they say are British values are different to what many British people would say are their values. And one of those British values is, for example, the all-inclusive British value that they claim that apparently a good, honest Brit should have. And that's to all sorts of perverts and weirdos being around your children.
Yeah.
Yeah? And that sort of stuff being pushed on them from young. Yeah, that sort of agenda, that sort of propaganda being pushed on them. And look, it starts with the nursery. It continues with the schooling. But it continues there. It's not just the schooling, because then it's the preschool clubs again. They have to adhere to Ofsted regulation. They have to adhere to British values, whatever they may be. It continues with the after-school club. It continues to the holiday clubs. It continues with the weekend stuff. It continues with everything. You basically have the government raising your child. Now, not just that, but you've got the government raising your child, and who do you have babysitting your child after that? The TV? The iPad, yeah, the iPad, the TV, the games console. And again, it's all ultimately the same people, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And who's really at the top of all of that? It's the devil,
yeah,
isn't it? And people, once they get through the hurdles, the propaganda, the pressure to not even have children in the first place, the temptations and everything else, then when they have the children, they're still not actually raising those children. And there are very few that are actually just being a mum and actually mothering their children. And is it any surprise that with such little importance being given to being a mum, that, well, they seem to be treated then as such, don't they? So mums in society aren't really treated with anywhere near the respect, the credit that they used to. It wasn't so long ago that pregnant women especially were treated in a special way, weren't they? Yeah, people would be giving their seats to a pregnant woman. People would be opening doors. There would be some chivalry, wouldn't there? And it wouldn't just be from that old-fashioned man. And nowadays, it seems to be that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Nowadays, any of you mums, you know, when you've been pregnant, especially I'm talking about when you're pregnant and you've been walking around or you've gone in somewhere in public, most of the time it might be some old guy. Some old guy might open a door, or the old guy will get up off the bus seat and give it to the lady while everyone else has just got their feet up. But should it just be the old guy? Should it just be that old gentleman? No? Shouldn't it be absolutely everyone? Shouldn't it be other women well? Shouldn't everyone be trying to do their best? And not just for some friend. Well, how about a mum that's walking around, one kid, two kids, three kids, five kids, 10 kids with her? Shouldn't they be in help? Shouldn't people give them the respect they give them? Instead of, what do you mums who have got a few kids get now? A lot of the time, looking at the kids, looking at you, looking at the kids, working out in their mind, are they all yours? How dare you have so many children? How dare you? Looking at the dad, looking at the kids, are they all his? We all get that, don't you? You get that once you've had a couple.
Oh, yeah.
Let alone when you're going up to the 5, 6, 7s. And that's where we got to, isn't it? And they're not going, you know, they're not giving, rarely are they giving respect for that. A lot of the time then there's animosity as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
Animosity, there's annoyance, there's irritation. They go, you know, like irritated that the kids have made some noise. Yeah, kids make noise. Yeah, that's what they do. Kids are great at making noise, but how irritating do people find that? And how irritating do people find mums, sadly? But like I said, it wasn't that long ago, was it? Where it wasn't a snidey comment, you know, because you've got a couple of kids. It wasn't a snidey comment because you've got a couple more kids than they have, or something else, some sort of little dig or little comment. Oh, yeah, good luck to you. You know, and that sort of thing. Well, in the old days, there was a time, if you remember, I remember this time, when men were ready to throw fists if someone even swore in front of a lady. Someone swore in front of a mum or in front of a kid, people would be ready to throw fists, and there's not many men like that anymore. Nowadays, you'd be more likely to be throwing fists at the nearest women that are swearing in front of them, because a lot of the time, the filthy mouth is coming from the women as well, isn't it? But in the old days, that was what it was like, wasn't it? How dare you speak like that in front of a lady? How dare you speak like that in front of a child? How dare you speak like that in front of a young family? Now, I have to catch myself, because you still have a bit of that in you, don't you? And you walk past people and they're effing and blinding and talk about absolute filth while you're walking past them with your young children. Isn't it wicked? What have we got to? What have we got to in this nation? But we as Bible-believing Baptists, like I say many times, and no one's not aware of this, we get affected by our culture, don't we? Okay, we shouldn't get affected by our culture, but we do. And again, I'm not just talking about the men here. Yeah, everyone here, including mums themselves, get affected by their surrounding culture, get affected by this wicked society, and this society where women, where mums are given such little credit now, such little respect. And that's why when it comes to things like Mother's Day, yeah, I'm up for celebrating Mother's Day. Yeah, and there might, I don't know, hopefully there might be some in here that's sitting there going, it's pagan, how dare he have Happy Mother's Day, it's a pagan festival, or something else. I don't really care, yeah, because compared with what the rest of, don't be part of the rest of society, which is just trying to downplay and basically take any credit. It's nice to have at least one day a year where we can go, yeah, let's give some respect, let's give some adoration to the mums, yeah, to mums for everything they do, everything they go through.
Amen.
And look, like I said, if we do get affected by this, and if going home, you know, or coming here to church, all of us here, we're just witnessing through your different forms of transport, through maybe stopping at a shop or whatever else, you were just witnessing people giving respect, people opening doors. If when we came out of here in the afternoon, those drunkards from across the road quickly run over to open the door for the mum coming out with the buggy, for, you know, maybe just gave respect and just said, oh, well, you know, that's really great that you've got so many kids or something. I think we would all probably be affected by that a little bit, wouldn't we? Yeah, that would affect how we behave, how we talk, how we think, how we treat the women in this church, and how we treat our wives, how maybe kids treat their mums, how people here just treat the other mums in the church and treat other mums in their lives. Because we are affected by the world, but that's not an excuse, is it? Is it an excuse that our society is wicked? No, because Romans 12:2, you don't have to turn, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And God's good and acceptable and perfect will is that we value mums. Okay, I have no doubt that that's God's will, that we value mums, and not valuing them according to how manly they are. Yeah, not valuing them according to you know, how much they fit in with what the world says a woman should be like, but just valuing them for the pure fact that they are mums. For the pure fact that they are mums. Part of the lack of value that our world, our society gives mums is basically because she's now judged by her masculinity. Don't we see that now? How strong she is? You know, how strong is that woman? How good is her job? How good is her job? What's her job? How many times when we did have our kids at school, would my wife be asked that on the school gate? So when are you going back to work? You know, the baby's literally, you know, still blue, yeah? It's literally, so are you going back to work next week? You know, what do you do? It's like, I'm standing there with three kids. What do you mean? What do I do? But that's the attitude, isn't it? And that's what they're judged by. That's the credit. Are they got a really good job, you know? But is that how we should judge a woman? No. her qualifications? Because sometimes it's that. It's not just what her job is. It's, well, you know, what did you used to do? What are you qualified? What sort of job could you go back to? People really want to know that stuff because really want to make a judgment then. How promiscuous, sadly, seems to be something to adhere towards in our society, doesn't it? How promiscuous is a woman? You know, how sadly, you know, how much attention she gets at the least. That's something that they seem to be judged by. And look, women are always going to come short. If they're judged by what look, being promiscuous is wicked, whether you're a man or woman anyway. But if you're judged by any of that, any of those masculine type things, well, you're always going to come short, women. You ever wondered why, look, the more and more they try and push you to be and act like men, they try and judge you by what are a lot of the time masculine tendencies, the shorter you come and the more insecure you feel. The more insecure you feel, the less respect you get, because you're always going to come short. Because when it comes to being able to work and slog out hours and everything else, you're going to come short. Okay, when it comes to many of the other traits of being a man, you're going to come short. But look, you're not designed for that. But then before we even get to a lady's mothering skills, God values you just purely for being a mum. Did you know that? God values you just for the fact, the pure fact that you are a mum. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10 says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." So here in Isaiah 40, I believe that he's talking of the second coming of Christ here. I might be wrong there. He's talking about him coming with a strong hand. I believe ruling and reigning for 1,000 years with a reward for his saints. That's us, isn't it? But verse 11 says that he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And we are his flock, aren't we? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Everyone here, if you're saved, you're part of his flock. And the Bible constantly gives the analogy of Jesus as a shepherd and believers as a sheep. Yeah? I think anyone that's read through the Bible, or even if you haven't, you've just heard preaching and you've heard parts of the Bible, probably going to have heard that many times. You don't have to turn to it. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And he gave his life for us, didn't he? Jesus Christ gave his life for us. Everyone here who's saved, he gave his life for you. And if you're not saved, he gave his life for you, but you've got to accept that gift, yeah? But the good shepherd, he also teaches us how we should behave, doesn't he? Yeah, he's a great example as well. He's a great example, not just to us men, he's a great example to everyone here. It said here, "He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." So the picture is a shepherd caring for the lambs and the mothering sheep, yeah? What do you call a? Is there like a special word for that? For a sheep that's a mother? Mothering sheep. Say again? Is it a ewe? Okay, ewe. Yeah, shall I go with that? Could make a risk here and keep saying this for another 40-odd minutes. Mothering sheep. Okay. Well, if everyone's goal is to be more Christ-like, then this analogy applies to all of us, doesn't it? Okay? But obviously, especially if you're a dad, yeah, especially if you're a husband of a mother, but also single men here, yeah, this applies to you, for those that maybe will eventually be one day, and those of you that maybe have wives that don't have kids. And look, whether you do or don't, all of us it applies to, because we're all going to be around mums. Okay, we're all going to be around mums. Amen. So whether it's a lady without children, or maybe it's a child here, like, this applies to all of us, yeah? Okay, how we should care for, how we should view the mums here, and view mums in general in our lives. Now, I'm sure that everyone gets this analogy to some degree, okay? Talking about sheep, we all probably have at least an idea about sheep and stuff, but I don't think we've got many farmers here. We've got any farmers here? No, okay, I don't think we've got any farmers here. And look, because maybe you understand it a bit more when you're a farmer. So I'm going to kind of give you a different analogy. I want to use something that maybe we'll get a little bit more, that we could apply a little bit more, that maybe is a bit more to do with us and our kind of culture and our work life. We're not all farmers. Let's look at it from a husband's point of view, especially, yeah? Imagine that you're a business owner. Imagine you have a business, and you can think about many different types of business, whether it's white collar, blue collar. Whether it's early days or not, you've already got a number of employees, okay? So whether, you know, whether it's early days, you've employed a few or maybe you've employed many, you've got this one essential member of staff, yeah? You've got this one member of staff in your business, whatever type of business it is, that one that the business could not run without, okay? That one member of staff that is so productive that your business would be a failure without them. That one member of staff, which is the reason that your business is even still going in the first place. The reason that your business can and will thrive is that one member of staff. Well, they're irreplaceable. Yeah, they're irreplaceable. Same as that farmer. If those sheep aren't having young, well, they're going to stop being a farmer soon enough, okay? They're going to stop having a farm. And in the same way, in your business, look, if you don't have that employee, you don't have that one super employee, that one key employee, your business is a failure. If you sack them or they left, you would lose the rest of the team. You're likely going to lose the rest of the team. The other employees are going to go as well because that person's such a key member of your staff. They're worth so much to you that, like that nursing sheep is worth to that shepherd, yeah? They're just this member of staff, this key employee, okay? Well, I reckon if you were that business owner, that integral employee would get treated as such, wouldn't they? Yeah? If that was your business, that was your bread and butter, that was your thing, that employee would get treated as that top employee, wouldn't they? Think about how in some of these businesses, how they treat those really good employees. Yeah, think about the sort of bonus schemes. Think about the extra incentives they give, the extra rewards. Think about the way that sometimes, if you've ever worked in certain places where there's someone who's just really good at their job, they tend to get a lot of leeway, don't they? Yeah. They tend to get a lot of preferential treatment. Sometimes if you're not so good at the job and they are, it could be a bit annoying because they seem to get, you know, they just seem to get that better treatment. They seem to just be in the boss's good books all the time, don't they? Well, the title is Recognising the Value of a Mother. And point number one here, how we do that is by helping her. Yeah, by helping her. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11 said, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom." Now, Jesus Christ, the shepherd here, is gathering the lambs and carrying them because sometimes a mum needs some help, doesn't she? Yeah? Sometimes doesn't a mum need some help?
Amen.
Sometimes the kids need a man's input too, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah? Sometimes, in fact, all the time, the kids also need a man's input. They also need a dad's input. Now, you could sit there going, "Wait a minute, Brother Ian, she's meant to be the help meet for me. Isn't she the help?" Yes, yeah, she is the help meet for you. Yes, she is. But like that prized employee, she sometimes needs a bit of time off, doesn't she? Yeah, mum sometimes needs some time off.
Yeah.
She sometimes needs an early finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes she's got things she's got to do. Sometimes she needs that early finish. Sometimes she needs you to take over from her for a little bit.
Yeah.
Sometimes she needs that. Mums do need that, yeah? Mm-hmm. And look, there are times when her workload is so heavy that she needs support. Okay, she needs support, and a lot of the time, as the men and dads here, we're that first support, aren't we? Sometimes a good boss, sometimes an owner of a business has to step in and help out. And when it's a prized employee, I think they're more likely to do that, aren't they? Absolutely. When it's that key employee, they're more likely to do that. And the obvious place is when it comes to children, isn't it? Okay, the obvious place is when it comes to children. Because, believe it or not, parenting isn't just a mum's job, is it?
Yeah.
And look, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular here. I'm sure, you know, I hope and pray that all the dads here and all the men that will eventually be dads here all get involved with the kids and all want to help and want to make sure that their prized employee, that key member of their you know, their business there, and obviously I'm using an analogy here, I hope that they're always wanting to make sure that they are comfortable, they're happy as much as they possibly can, because we're commanded to do that, aren't we, men?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Because parenting isn't just a mum's job. Proverbs 1:8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." So according to Proverbs 1:8, fathers need to be instructing their kids too, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 6:20 says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." So fathers need to have commandments for their kids, yeah? You're in Proverbs 4 and verse 1 says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For as my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother, He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. So who's his father? King David. He was a busy man, especially after Solomon was born. We'd already gone through that little blip that was more than a little blip, where he clearly was a bit lazy and slack and hanging around the king's rooftop. But after that, he was a busy man, wasn't he? And look, he taught Solomon also, didn't he? King David, the busy king, still taught Solomon. He still taught his son, didn't he? And what is a dad teaching his children? Well, first things first, it's the things of God, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the things of God. You'd have to turn to Ephesians 6:4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let me read that again. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Yeah, so that's children being brought up by their fathers, isn't it? Yeah, and look, I'm not going to preach a role reversal here. Wives, get out to work, then you'll be more respected. Dads, hang around with the apron on. I'm not preaching that. But we should be helping out, shouldn't we? We should still have some input with our kids. We should still be fathering our kids as well. It's not just something that, right, well, I'm working, that's it. You know, mums, get on with it. No, you should still be commanding. You should still be instructing. You should still be bringing up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if your schedule is so busy that you can't do that, you're failing as dads, you're failing as fathers, and you're failing as a husbands that you should be to your wives, because they need that as well. They can't do it all on their own. They can't do it all on their own. And that's in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, because that's what it's about ultimately, isn't it? And look, when you take kids for a day, yeah, when you, any of you dads here, when you, your wives, you've given them a day off, or sometimes it's more because they've got something that they can't get out of and they have to do, some sort of appointment, and you're like, yeah, okay, I'll give them a day off. Well, even when it's a couple of hours, you kind of start to recognise the value of being a mum, don't you? Especially you like that. In fact, regardless, whether it's one kid or a few kids or multiple children, can be pretty tough, can't it, sometimes, yeah? And we're not so good at it all the time, are we? And like I've joked before, a lot of the time the house is absolutely trashed after a couple of hours, and you start to value your wife a bit more, don't you? Mum a bit more. And look, there are other ways, though, we can help mums. So it's not just looking after the kids. And look, that's something, that's not just helping a mum, okay? That's something that you're commanded to do, okay? That's something you are a father. You're not just a breadwinner and that's it, okay? You are a father. You need to raise your kids as well. You need to help raise your kids. You need to have an input with your kids. You need to ultimately be the one teaching your kids the things of God as well.
Yeah.
Yeah? But look, there are other things as well. And it's not just a case of, look, right, you got saved or you got married with your wives, yeah? You've got 3 weeks to match the virtuous woman from Proverbs 31, okay? Because men can be like that. Look, especially like newly saved men can be like, right, married, right, she needs to basically be exactly like the virtuous woman. But is that right?
No.
Yeah? Are we fulfilling our responsibilities? Anyone here just got saved? Any of you men got saved? When you got saved, did you just suddenly just match up to everything the Bible says a man should be? Anyone here actually matching up to all of these years down the line? I don't care how many years. No. But we can sometimes expect that with our wives, can't we? We can sometimes expect that with a mother, that she's just going to like flick a switch. Right, she's saved. Time to be the virtuous woman. Well, it's not like that, is it? Would it be loving of me, caring of me, if my wife was literally grafting from first thing in the morning to last thing at night? Yeah, she was really putting the hours in, be it homeschooling, cleaning, you name it, just cooking meals from scratch, doing all of that, helping me, giving me, you know, the things I need. And I was doing 38 hours a week at work, working from home, and I had my feet up on the sofa while she's hoovering underneath me. Would that be loving and care? Would that be good leadership, do you think? It wouldn't, would it?
No.
Be a nice life. No, I'm joking. But it wouldn't really, would it? Because is she really going to be happy with time? Is that really, would that, oh, but I'm doing my bit, so that's okay, isn't it? No, because look, we've become one flesh, yeah? Look, yeah, and there are different members of your body that are good for different things, yeah? And are going to have the responsibility of different things, aren't there? But you know what? Sometimes you need to look at that balance and make sure that they're actually able in the long term to do what they're doing, yeah? Okay? And make sure that they're not going to resent you in the long term as well. Okay, and that's part of loving and nurturing, and that's part of being a good leader, part of being a good boss, isn't it? Is not just going to that prized employee, right, I'm going to work you to that. Would you do that in your business? Would you work that key employee to the bone while you put your feet up? And again, I'm not saying people are doing that, but some men do, don't they? Some men are like, well, that's her job, that's her role. 12th kid, you know, and I managed to make some good money on a part-time job. So that's me done. I've done my role. But is that what God wants us to do? It's not, is it?
No.
Well, like I said, that irreplaceable member of staff, she needs managing carefully. She needs help at times, yeah? And that could be help in other areas as well.
Yeah.
And that doesn't just apply to a husband, though, does it? Does that just apply to a husband? Like I said, it's valuing a mum, yeah? Recognising the value of a mother. How about kids? Do you recognise the value of your mother's kids? Yeah, are you helping out? Are you just taking what you can and doing nothing around the home and just put out every time you're asked to do anything? Is it, well, you'll help out when it's on your terms? Or are you actually thinking, look, my mother is a key. She is a key member of this family, and I need to make sure that she's going to be a happy and she's able to keep going in the long term. She's able to keep up whatever it is that she's doing. Are kids doing that? But not just kids. What about other family members? You've got family members that are mums that maybe need a bit of help. And it might not be, look, it might not be coming around and helping with the kids. It might not be coming around and helping with the chores. But how about helping with counsel? Helping with just someone to talk to? Sometimes mums just need someone to talk to, don't they? I know us men find that surprising. Sometimes we just want no one to talk to. But a lot of mums need someone to talk to, don't they? Yeah, they need to be able to offload sometimes. Are we offering that? Are the women here in the church, are you offering that to other mums? Are you thinking, look, maybe she needs that. Maybe that mum, how's that mum doing this week? Because look, being a mum can be hard. And it's not about how many kids they have. Being a mum with one kid can be really hard. Yeah, being a mum with two kids, four kids, five, doesn't matter. Look, there's so many different challenges. And it's not about the ages either. It's not, oh, well, she's got a newborn. She's got a newborn, we do the food train, you know, check, you know, maybe say a couple of prayers for her. 6 weeks old, let's move on now, okay? What's the problem, you know? Because it's not like that, is it? Look, kids have challenges all the way up, don't they? Kids have challenges all the way up to 50 years old. They do, don't they? And look, we need to recognise that in a mum, that a mum's going to be going through that, and a mum's going to go through those worries and those concerns about their adult children that many of us dads don't really recognise so much, do we? Ah, oh, get on with it, you know? Kids like falling over, smash their head up. It's just a scratch, you know? Mums care about that stuff. That affects mums, doesn't it? Yeah?
Yeah.
Mums actually care about those sorts of things. That stuff will play on their mind. They're worried. They have concern for their children. Well, and like I said, church members here, we should think about the mums, shouldn't we? And remember as well that the mums here as well for the future of this church, they're discipling future church members, aren't
Amen,
they?
Amen.
Yeah? That's a big way a church grows, is through having children.
Yes.
Yeah, and they're discipling, they're key to the health of this church. If they're doing a bad job discipling those kids, we're going to end up with an unhealthy church, aren't we?
Yeah.
So we need to recognise that as well. Like I said, counsel, someone to talk to. And there are many ways we can all help, yeah? Everyone here can help a mum in this room. The title is Recognising the Value of a Mother. Number one was by helping her. Number two is by gently leading her. Gently leading her. Isaiah 40 and verse 10 to 11 said, Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with him. Young. Notice the word gently here, yeah? Don't miss that word gently here, because a mum needs some consideration for the fact that she's a mum.
Yeah.
Doesn't she? She needs some consideration for the fact that she is a mum. She can't do the same amount of soul winning as you, okay? She can't do the same amount of soul winning as you. She can't match the physical labour that you do. If she can, man, you better get busier. Yeah? But look, she can't. Okay, she's not built for those things. That key employee in that business isn't getting forced to do double shifts every day so you get your money's worth, is she? That key employee in your business, you know, isn't getting rung up at the crack of dawn. You need to start earlier. You need to start earlier because the boss is up. Now, that key employee is getting respect for being a key employee, aren't they? Okay, they're getting valued for what they bring. They don't want to put that employee off. They don't want them to crumble and fall. They don't want them to quit on the job, do they? And we as men, look, we especially need to appreciate all a woman's body and mind goes through having babies. Yeah, it's not just right, baby's out, that's it, job done. Look, they go through a lot, okay? They go through a lot. And they go through a lot for us as dads here to have children, yeah? Because happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them, yeah? And look, we get a lot of blessings from our wives, the mums here having babies, having children. We need to remember that sometimes, don't we? Because they go through a lot. They go through a lot. And there's a lot of hard stuff that comes with pregnancy. And not just pregnancy, but comes with being a mum. And if we appreciate that more, then maybe that might help those mums a bit more, yeah? Because we can quickly just, oh, what about everything I've got to do? I've got to work long hours to provide. Look, what their body goes through, what their mind goes through is a lot, isn't it? It's a lot. Turn to Leviticus chapter 12. But again, so can family and friends. Yeah? So can everyone in this church appreciate what every single mummy has gone through and sometimes continues to go through. And that can be in many ways. That could be in wanting to support. That could be in having some empathy. That could be in maybe turning the other cheek when sometimes mums can, you know, now and again, they might do the odd crazy thing. Yeah? Mums do that sometimes. Yeah? Sometimes, sometimes it's more than sometimes. But they can, can't they? And look, that's you know, having a bit of mercy sometimes, isn't it? For mums who go through a lot, and the mind goes through a lot, and the body goes through a lot. That's also maybe not having too high expectations. Because the truth is, you'll find that the vast majority of churches, and I'm talking about proper churches here around, the vast majority of the work being done by the women that do it is a lot of the time being done by the busiest mums. That's what happens in churches a lot of the time. It's the mums who are doing so much, and a lot of the time, and I'm not picky on anyone here, but a lot of the time it's the singles, the kids, the people that don't have kids who are doing the bare minimum. Now, part of that, admittedly, is because being a mum starts to train you to be busy, and it trains you to you end up just getting used to being busy. But still, look, we need to have some consideration sometimes, because sometimes it just burns them out, yeah? And as we get busier, when we get that bigger building and when we have more to do, everyone here needs to appreciate the fact that that's not just right. It's a mum's jobs now to really knuckle down. Look, amen. Everyone needs to support them. Everyone needs to help them. Now, in Leviticus chapter 12, we see what was law for a new mum. Okay, now, although we're not bound by this ordinance, there's a really good principle here. Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation, for infirmity shall she be unclean." So basically, she keeps away from people for an initial 7 days. "And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised, and she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled." And obviously, if you're wondering, no, we don't circumcise anymore. But here it says, basically, if she's had a little boy, she was then to stay away from church for a further 33 days. Okay, that's 40 days. 40 days with a mum that's just had a little boy. 40 days away from church. Now, that was a law. Okay, there was no choice. Now, look, I understand some women bounce back quicker than others. Some women actually want to be around people. But that was a law. Okay, there was no choice. There was no say on that. But why is that? Well, let's carry on. "But if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation. And she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. So after a little girl, she was to stay at home for 2 weeks. And then to stay away from church for a further 66 days. That's 80 days total after having a little girl. Why more for a baby girl? Because it takes longer for mums to recover after having a little girl. Okay, there's different hormones at play there. The hormones take longer to settle. There's a longer process there. Whether that's a longer mental recovery as well, that's just the truth. Why stay away? Why stay away from church? Because it's not just the baby that needs protecting, and the baby does need protecting, by the way, a lot of the time, like we were talking about earlier, about germs and stuff like that. When they're very new, they're very delicate, but mums need time to recover as well, to bond with their child, to stay away from illness. Yeah, that's how God, that's how God commanded it. Okay, that wasn't optional. Okay, so you wouldn't have had a choice if you'd been living under Old Testament Israel law. Okay, that's what you would have done, mums. And anyone here wonder, think that God got that wrong?
No.
No, God didn't know what he was doing? There's a reason for that. Like I said, you know, no one's forcing anyone to do anything here like that. We're not bound by this. But I think there's a good example there. There's a good lesson there, isn't there? And if you choose to, if you're any of the wives here, any of the mums to be, anyone who has a child, has a little girl and says, look, especially if her husband says, I think that you should be taking that time off, that you should be taking that time to recover mentally, to get in a place where you're ready to be around people again, then you should give her that time.
Yeah?
Yeah. Don't start forcing her back to church, you know, so that she can look more holy. And I'm not saying anyone would do that, but men sadly will do that, won't they? Yeah, and same like mums here, take the time. Yeah, take the time, because you need that time. And look, some might not. Some might be sitting here going, look, actually, I find it hard to be away. And look, there's no rule here, okay? There's no law here. But for me, look, God put that there for a reason. God commanded that for a reason. Don't feel pressured, women, mums here, when you have children and going on into the future, young ladies here, as you grow up, don't feel pressured to be getting back to church straight away, okay? Because if you'd lived then, it would have been 80 days after having a little girl. It would have been 40 days after having a little boy. It's quite a bit of time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah? And again, I think that's for good reason. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And like I said, however stoic a mum might be, because some mums maybe don't need that time. Some mums maybe would find it harder to have that time, okay? And they might have their reasons not to. We as men, as family, as friends, we need to recognise the value of a mother, don't we? Okay, we need to recognise the value of a mother. And that is showing some value to them there, isn't it? That's saying, look, you need to have some time. You need to have some time away. And we need to treat them in that way, don't we? And like I said, it's not just mums with newborns. Okay, there are challenges with having children of all ages. There's challenges with just having offspring. Yeah, whether you're an older mum here that's got adult children, or whether you're just thinking about your mum, some of you adults, yeah? Look, they're challenges. They need to be treated with the respect and there are some battle scars, yeah? There are wounds that come, battle wounds, mental scars that come from having children that will never go away. Yeah, look, that can affect women for life.
Yeah.
So it's not, oh, well, you don't have a newborn anymore. You should just be acting and behaving exactly like I've decided you should behave. No, we need to have empathy. We need to have sympathy for mums at all stages. Yeah, at all stages.
Yeah.
1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And that's why the early days of marriage can be so difficult, can't they? Because you don't have the knowledge yet. You don't have that knowledge of that wife to be able to dwell with them according to knowledge. And that's why that first part is so difficult. I was saying to someone recently, I was saying, look, that first part of marriage is basically when you're putting the hardest work in. Okay, it's like if you're building a house, and in a way you are building a house, yeah? That first part, that digging the foundations, yeah? That digging out some of those nasty old tree roots and those other weird things you find when you go deep into the ground. That you think, I really didn't expect to find that there. Yeah, that digging is hard. That laying that concrete is hard. Yeah, that first part, those foundations, that first part of most jobs is hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it can be difficult. It is difficult. Anyone here's thinking, the beginning of my marriage was all roses. That ain't the truth. And however many mushy, stupid Hollywood movies, yeah, and trash novels where people are just, from the beginning, it's just this, you know, romantic honeymoon period, tell you otherwise, it's nonsense. Yeah, the beginning is tough. You're learning to live with each other. You're learning to dwell with your wives according to knowledge. But you put the graft in and you reap the rewards. Yeah, you put the graft in early.
Yeah.
You dig those foundations. You lay. You don't do the old, you know, the old trick and just go a few inches down. No one will notice because it's going to crumble, isn't it? Yeah, you just don't deal with any of the issues early. Just do it the world's way instead. Do it the world's way. Do the cheap, quick, easy way. Just keep away from each other. Don't try and encourage them in it. Well, they don't really want to go to church. They don't want to do this. Oh, we'll just leave that. No, you put the work in early. Yeah, you get to know them early. Get to learn what works and what doesn't early, and you'll reap the rewards. Yeah, you'll reap the rewards. Now, it says here, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. We need to give honour, that's respect, high esteem, value. Yeah?
Amen.
That's value to our wives, value to the mums. And a weaker vessel isn't a less important vessel, is it?
Amen. Yeah?
Is weaker less important?
Yes.
No. Some say yes. No. Weaker isn't less important, is it? Whatever this heckler is saying, I don't know who it was. Ushers, get him out. It's not. Did Jesus, the good shepherd, consider the rams more important? And if anyone's wondering here, rams being the male sheep, here, did he go, oh no, they're much more important? No, here, he's gently leading those with young. He's actually carrying the really young, isn't he? Is a bone china teacup of less importance than that big clumpy clunky pound store mug where you drink it? Just doesn't taste the same, does it? Yeah, but that bone china's a weaker vessel, isn't it? That bone china will get cracked when your kids empty the dishwasher. Yeah, in fact, a lot of time you can't even put it in the dishwasher and it'll crack. Yeah, you can't even put a boiling cup of tea in it, and sometimes a fine line appears, doesn't it? And you know, oh, no, I've only got a certain time left with that, but it's still important, isn't it? And look, for those of you that like your tea, it's nice to drink it out of the bone china, isn't it? Yeah, but it's a weaker vessel. It's a weaker vessel. That big Sports Direct mug. That stupid Sports Direct mug where you get about 3 cups of tea in there and you get high, yeah, from all that caffeine, yeah? It's not more important, is it? No. In fact, it's worse for you. Yeah. A weaker vessel isn't less important. And look, yeah, we don't lie here, do we? We don't lie and pretend that the genders are exactly the same, do we? Yeah, we don't lie and pretend that we're all exactly the same and everyone's just exactly the same, like this wicked world tries to do. But it doesn't affect the value, though. It doesn't affect the value. We're just different. We're different. And like that important staff member, if he suffers, you all suffer, don't you? If a mum suffers at home, a lot of the time that's going to have a knock-on effect to the family, isn't it?
Yeah.
And when you're married, you're heirs together of the grace of life, it says here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It's being heirs together of the grace of life. The blessings, the trials, the results of bad decisions affect both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah? When your wife, if your wife starts having bad times and hard times, it's going to affect both of you. And the other way around as well. So I'm not just picking on the women here. Yeah? Sometimes us men can seem to be the weaker vessel, can't we? Yeah, and again, that's going to affect your wife as well. You're heirs together of the grace of life. Yeah, when you became one flesh, yeah, you became heirs together of the grace of life. And when you do it wrong, when part of that one flesh isn't right with God, it's going to hinder the whole flesh, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's going to hinder the whole flesh. What happens? You know, any of you into sports, you get, you know, it's not, oh, well, I've only got my left leg injured, I'm going to be absolutely fine with this event or with it, whatever it is I'm trying to do. No, look, one part's injured, one part's failing, one part's lacking in some way or another, it's going to affect the whole body, isn't it? Verse 8 said, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Now, verse 8 is specifically to each other in the church. Which, by the way, means that it does also apply to mums. But I would say it should especially apply to mums, shouldn't it? Remember to have compassion on the mum. Like I said, they all have unique challenges. It doesn't matter if they've got 10 kids or they've got one child. Yeah, it doesn't matter if they've got one adult child or they've got... Is there such a word for having 10 twins? What would they call it? Is there a word for that? Anyone know? No? 9, 8? What's the biggest? What's the most anyone's ever had? I know you guys are going to know this. Say again?
Octuplets.
Is that 8, yeah?
8, yeah.
Okay. I bet there's some challenge with having eight kids at once. Wow. That'd be tough, wouldn't it? But you know what? There's also challenges to having one baby. There's a unique challenge to every unique mum in here to having one child, okay? And there are unique challenges to every part of being a mother, yeah? We need to appreciate that. We need to have compassion, like I said earlier, especially on the mums. We need to love them, don't we, as well? But here it says also, be pitiful. There are times when they need some sympathy, like I said. There are some times when you're not just going, well, you know, so-and-so has 4 kids, so how could you be finding it hard with 2? And I guarantee you there are people that have at least thought that, maybe even said that, in this church and in many churches and in many areas of life. Well, you know, they've got this many, so why is that? Because it's hard. Because however many kids you have is hard. Yeah, because being a mum is hard. Yeah, let's recognise the value of a mum, because it is hard, isn't it? And by the way, it's hard. Look, for that first kid is sometimes the hardest, isn't it? That adaptation to having a child is sometimes the hardest one. Yeah, and people look at it and go, oh, it must be easy. You've only got one. No, look, having a baby's hard. Yeah, having a child is hard. But what about being courteous? It says, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. It should go without saying, yeah? And, you know, the old saying, good manners don't cost anything, do they? Okay, and by the way, this church is in the UK. So all of you that don't understand this, watching online, we're Brits, we love manners, yeah? Okay, and we've got a thing for manners in this country, yeah? And I've got a thing for manners. I think good manners are important, yeah? Good manners are important. Amen. And I would say, especially, like I said earlier, there was a time when, especially when you were talking to a mum, when you were talking to a lady, yeah? And we have many ladies in this church, don't we? We should make sure that we're always using manners when we're talking to a lady.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't see it like, why shouldn't we? Yeah, we're treating them as a weaker vessel. We should be honouring them. We should be treating, that's everyone. Okay, and obviously that goes without saying for your own wives. It also includes when you talk to other people's wives and when you just talk to ladies in general in this church. Yeah, okay, we want to make sure that we're courteous, we're polite. Yeah, we talk to people how we should do, yeah, with manners. Now, especially though when you're talking to a mum. Yeah, especially when you're talking to a mum. When you're talking to a mum that sometimes, look, the wrong word, and sometimes, look, the hormones can be up and down, can't they? Sometimes saying that wrong thing can really affect them. Sometimes they'll look back and dwell on something that's been said to them. Yeah, that's just life. In fact, all of us can do that sometimes, but that can be the case with a mum. And with a mum who has that need for us to value them, that's not getting that in the world. Look, we want to make sure that we're careful with how we talk to mums in this church, especially. Yeah, obviously to each other. It's talking here, especially talking to each other. It's saying finally be all of one mind. But I would say especially with mums as well. Now the title is recognizing the value of a mother. Number one was by helping her. Number two was by gently leading her. Number three is by still leading her. By still leading her. Isaiah 40 and verse 10 said, behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And verse 11 said, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Yeah, it's gentle, but he's still leading, because sometimes that leading can get so gentle that it's not leading.
Yeah.
Sometimes the leading can get so gentle. Yeah, I like the gently led bit, but I'm just going to start ignoring the word lead there, and I'm just going to be gentle and too gentle, and then it stops being leading, okay? We need to lead, because recognising the value of a mother means recognising the need to lead her in the right path, doesn't it? Yeah, leading her in the right path. That same good shepherd who will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mothers will still, look at verse 10, come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Yeah? Gentle leadership is still leadership, isn't it?
Yeah, amen.
And the weaker vessel needs leadership. Yeah, they need leadership. Like with that integral employee that we're talking about, however great they are at the job, the company still needs a boss, doesn't it?
Yeah,
the company still needs a boss. It doesn't matter how good that employee is, they still need a boss. In fact, they will stop being a good employee if they can't submit to the boss, and the business will eventually fail, won't it? Yeah, it doesn't matter how good an employee they are, how good they are at their job, they still need to submit to the boss. And look, those mother sheep again, I should have looked for a technical term for this. Those mother sheep, well, they still need leading. Yeah, well, between the wolves, between the thieves, between the rough terrain, they're going to fail, aren't they? They're going to go wandering, they're going to be lost. Yeah, between all of that, something's going to go wrong, isn't it? Turn to Genesis chapter 3, because recognising the value of a mum means recognising the importance of leading her. And like I said, you know, like that employee wants a good boss, yeah? That sheep want a good shepherd. And a mum wants a good leader. A mum wants a good leader. Genesis 3:16. After the fall here, God says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Yes, a woman's desire is to the ruler. Yeah? A woman's desire is to her husband. A woman deep down wants to be led, wants to be ruled by a proper leader. But what's the goal? What's the goal? Is it to prop up a man's ego? Is that why she wants that? Is it just to make us feel good? Is it to show the other men how they can get away with talking to their wives? Is that what it's about? No. It's to lead them in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Amen.
Isn't it? Yeah. That's what it's about. It's to lead them in the paths of righteousness. Isaiah 40 and verse 10 to 11, it said he will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. It doesn't take a strong hand to lead your wife the way the world serves up things, yeah? It doesn't take a strong hand to lead your wife in the way of the world. Yeah, that's not strong. It takes a strong hand to lead her to the daily nourishing of God's word, doesn't it? Yeah, that takes a strong hand to regular church. Yeah, to regular church. And in some areas, that leading needs to be gentle. Yeah, we've just seen that. But when it comes to feeding that star worker, only the best food will do, won't it? Yeah. When it comes to feeding that mothering sheep, when it's that sheep that's producing all, you know, half of your farm for you, well, you're going to feed it good food, aren't you? When you're whining and dining, and I use the word whining in a biblical sense here, when you're fruit juicing and dining your employee, well, you're going to make sure they have some good stuff, don't you? Yeah, it won't just be that cheap grape juice drink, yeah, which is grape juice with a load of junk in it. Yeah, it'll be the pure grape juice, won't it? Yeah, when you're taking them out for a meal, you're not going to take them down to McDonald's, are you? You're going to be taking them somewhere good. Well, in the same way, we want to make sure that when we're leading our wives, that they're going to be getting some proper food, yeah? Some proper Amen. Food. And look, like the sheep in the lush meadows, when she's fed properly, she's going to be happier, she's going to be healthier, and less likely to disappear into the neighbouring field, yeah? Well, it's true. When you recognise the value of a mother, you're happy to put the effort into leading her as Jesus wants you to, aren't you?
Yeah.
Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. You understand the importance of leading her properly so that she continues to be of such high value, yeah? And how do we do that? Well, Ephesians 5 from verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Notice the washing of water by the word. Notice the nourishing there. You need to lead her in the clean water, the word of God. Yeah, you need to clean her. You need to sanctify her. You need to cleanse her with the washing of water by the word of God, yeah? That's what we're leading our wives. That's the ultimate goal, isn't it? But that's not going to be by just making her read the Bible all day, every day. That's not, look, you got to dwell with them according to knowledge as well, don't you? You've got to find the way. That's your job in life, husbands, yeah? Men here who are looking after to wives and mums here, your job is to find a way to lead them in the path of righteousness, yeah? Find what works for your wife, how to do that, how to encourage them, how to inspire them to want to do the things of God. You need to nourish her with the quality food, don't you? The inspired, preserved Word of God. Yeah, the King James Bible. You need to nourish her with that. Yeah, that's what she needs. She needs the Word of God, and you need to find a way that you're going to do that, because that's what you're leading her for, aren't you? You're leading her to be a godly woman. You're leading her because God told you to lead her, and you're leading her for Him, aren't you?
Amen.
And why? Because like that sheep with young, that key employee, you recognise the value of a mother, don't you? You recognise the value of a mother. And the title is Recognising the Value of a Mother. Number one is by helping her. Number two is by gently leading her. But number three is by still leading her. And like I've said, although that applies especially to the husbands here, everyone else here can support mums too, can't they? Yeah, everyone else can support mums. You can help them. You can be caring and sympathetic. You can encourage them in the things of God, can't you? Yeah, you can encourage, everyone else here can encourage them. And look, that's not by boasting about, you know, how godly you are. That's just to encourage them into the things of God. Yeah, talking about the things of God. Maybe you might have ways that it could work for you. Maybe it's hard. You've got a newborn baby. You set that alarm, that baby's crying, needing things. It's hard to get up and start reading your Bible first thing. Yeah, find ways that it can work. Like, help each other. Give each other, you know, advice when it's asked for. Yeah, no one wants unsolicited advice. But be able to, we can all help the mums here. The dads here, we can recognise our wife's immense value, can't we? Yeah? Every dad here, you can recognise your wife's immense value. The kids here, you can recognise your mum's immense value. Yeah? Every kid here should recognise your mum's immense value. Everyone here can recognise the mums here immense value. Not just to this church, but to their own families as well. And mums here, you can recognise your own immense value as well. Because sometimes, especially with the way our world paints things, you can go through life feeling like some sort of, you know, you're just playing catch up with the men and you're just not quite there because you're being judged according to the men. But mums, you have immense value, yeah? Every single one of you does. On that, let's pray. Father, thank you for, all the mums in this room. Thank you for all the mums around. Thank you for every, you know, all the many different types of mums we have, and all the many just blessings they bring this church. And I pray that you'll just help us all to appreciate them, help us all to want to help them, to care for them, to not only be sympathetic to them, but to for us men here especially, to help lead them in the right way as well, to lead them gently but also with a strong hand. To just be everything that you want us to be like that good shepherd, to be like you. Father, I thank you that you know, you make things clear in your word, how, you know, the world's version of things, which is always failing compared with your way of doing things, how just upside down, inside out it is. And help us to not be so affected by the way the world thinks and does things. Help us to be affected by how you want us to do things. And starting with today, please just help us to go out and preach the gospel. Help us to just get many people saved, and help us to all return back here for this evening service. In Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen. Amen.